It's very important that you stay with me for the entire program, all the way to the very, very end, for several reasons. Many of you are aware of the fact that over the past several years, I've come to you through my YouTube channel or occasionally on the Manifest Telecast to share with you when I would experience a very unusual and very vivid dream. Occasionally, it would be like a vision of tsunamis taking place somewhere in the United States. Recently, perhaps the most vivid and clear and detailed tsunami experience occurred to me very early in the morning several weeks ago. And I just felt like it was time to begin to share with you some of the details and begin to share with you at the end some of the things that you do if in the event something like this takes place. And when I say if, I believe I've had enough warnings that eventually it will. It's just a matter of not if, but when. There is one verse in the entirety of the Bible that explains in detail something that's going to happen in the last days as it relates to the water in the oceans and the seas. I'm going to read it in its entirety. It's going to come up on your screen. Luke 21, verses 24 through 27. They shall fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars upon the earth, distress of nation with perplexity. Now here's the phrase, the sea and the waves roaring. When this begins to happen, we read men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. In other words, they're so afraid of what's coming that they're having heart failure. For the powers of heaven will be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, what I would like to do for just a moment is I would like to look at this verse and give you four parts to it that I think that are very important and very significant. Part number one is that this deals with the time of when the Gentiles will no longer be in control of Jerusalem. From 70 AD, when the Romans occupied the city of Jerusalem, then it was the Byzantines and then the Muslims and the Mamelukes and the Crusaders, and then it went all the way down to the Turks and the British. But in 1967, the city of Jerusalem was divided between the country of Jordan and the nation of Israel. After the 67 war, Jerusalem became the united capital of Israel. While some disagree with that, that's what the Bible said was going to take place. So Jerusalem is no longer being trodden down of the Gentiles. That began in 1967. Should I say the fulfillment of that verse and that passage was in 1967. Then as we move on forward, this is what it says here. It says, then there'll be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars. Well, just a few years later, there was a moon landing, a great sign on the moon. And then they began to study the solar problems that were taking place on the sun, solar flares, I meant to say, that were taking place that could affect the satellites and the radio signals, etc., on Earth. And then it says the stars, and we have heard them talk about asteroids and meteorites and how asteroids are having flybys close to the planet and things of that nature. All of this is a part of this prediction of the time of the end. And one of the things I want to bring out is what he said, which is very important, about the sea and the waves roaring. Because when you look at this passage, I looked at the word roaring, and it comes out of a Greek word that means an echo sound, which is coming from the waves or coming from the sea. Now, when I examine this more carefully, especially as it relates to activity that happens around behind me, you see the picture of the sea and the waves, then I realize that there are two things that predominantly happen as it relates to the sea and the waves. The first would be hurricanes. Hurricanes are formed usually, as far as the United States is concerned, off of the coast of Africa. They form as storms that are coming in, sometimes tropical storms, and then with the air movements that are called the jet stream and the water temperature, it can form a hurricane. And most of you know that they are hurricane levels 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, 5 being the most deadliest. But when they come ashore, if you've ever watched the news, you hear that wind blowing, and you hear this, it really makes some strange sounds between the trees and the buildings if you've ever been in one that's passing by. So that is one example of the sea and the waves roaring. But here's the big example. The big example, without a doubt, at least in my opinion, has to be with tsunamis. When we studied tsunamis that occurred, the Japanese Chinese tsunami, especially the Indonesian tsunami, the people who survived it described the water being pulled back on the coastline and then the wave coming in. But they also described an echoing sound, a roaring sound. Some actually used the word roaring, that the sea didn't have its normal sound of a wave coming to shore, which kind of has that whooshing sound. It had a very weird sound coming from the distance. Now, this is exactly what Christ was talking about in Luke chapter 21, when the sea and waves would be roaring. The word roaring there is the key, because it is an echo sound, a roaring type of sound. Now, having said that, I remember that several years ago, I had a dream and I saw Japanese temples. I knew what they were because I had seen pictures of them when I looked at pictures at Japan. And I saw all this water forming and just all sorts of problems taking place. Well, sometime later, the tsunami that struck the coastal area of Japan took place, and I began to see pictures, and I said, wow, this is exactly what I saw in that dream. It didn't make sense at the time when I saw it, but it did later after the events took place. What I want to tell you also is several years ago, I had that it was actually a vision of an oil rig off the coast of Louisiana. I knew where it was and how there was an oil-looking tornado spinning off of it, and it was creating five problems in the southern part of the United States where the oil industry was. And of course, that was the oil rig explosion and how that little, it was a tornado of oil, but they showed the pictures underwater of that, the hole that was left in the pipe there, I should say, the hole of the pipe, where the oil was coming out, and it had a tornado look to it underwater. And so that's all in the past. The Japanese tsunami has taken place, that incident off the coast of Louisiana. It's real interesting. I contacted a very dear friend of mine, Dino Rizzo at that time, and began to tell him this story, and he remembers it in detail. And I think he's even shared it with people to this day of how I told him that was going to happen to get prepared for something there. So I know you want me to talk about what happened recently. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the details, the minute details, because this one was so clear. You know, if you've ever dreamed a dream, a lot of times you don't remember all the exact details. You remember the general information or the general details or the key details, but you kind of, you wake up and after a week or two, a day or two, it kind of leaves you. You know what I'm talking about. This, every detail stayed. Now, I was in a city with some minister friends. In the city, there was some type of a conference being held in which all of us had been invited to be a part of this conference, this minister's gathering. And the two men that I saw in the dream were my friend Jensen Franklin and his wife Charisse. And I also, my wife Pam was there in the dream, Pam and I. And then I also saw my dear friend Tony Scott. And these are men that I preach for and men that have been great friends for years. Tony and I were in the city and we were walking, getting ready to walk across a bridge. It was a concrete bridge. However, it had concrete, but on the top of the concrete were round metal bars. And I thought for a moment, why are the bars here? And I realized that the way the bridge was made, they wanted to make sure that kids didn't stand on the bridge or didn't sit on the bridge and fall off into the water, which was a river below the bridge. And so I realized that's what those bars were there for. But as we're walking, a young girl behind me, whom I did not see, but I heard her voice, says, "Daddy, did you hear about the big earthquake that happened?" And she didn't say where it was. She said nothing about it other than that. And I turned to Tony and said, "Big earthquake." Well, immediately the scene changed. Now, that doesn't mean the earthquake happened at that spot, because if you know about the Indonesian tsunami, the earthquake happened in one area, but hours later, it started affecting nations, entire nations. Some of it was instant. Some of it was 30 minutes later, hour later, depending on the distance of where the earthquake took place. So the scene changes, and we're standing at the bridge, and I see way in the distance a wave coming. I mean, it is a massive. I said, "Tony, oh my goodness, there's a tsunami coming this way." Well, we had a choice. The bridge was kind of long. We could either run across the bridge, but we would be right into the city. And I said, "You know what? If that wave hits, our best chance of not being pulled away by the wave is to grab these bars." And my idea was to put my arms through this way and hold them so the wave would hit me in the back and I could hold my breath. But by the time the wave came in, it had crashed into the shore, so it was not going to come over top of our heads in the bridge. It was going to come over the bridge, but not over our heads. So I knew that we would be okay. Now, when the wave hit, immediately it started picking up vehicles. And I saw a actual huge bus that was on top of the water. I saw two buses, as a matter of fact. And then I saw automobiles and I thought, oh my goodness. And then you could see where the bigger wave had crashed in and now the water was rising. Well, the scene changed. Tony and I are now walking in water that is between the knee and the waist deep. In a city, there are markets on either side. People are standing outside. People are in disbelief. I saw several Hispanic people. I think they owned a Mexican restaurant downtown. It's a beautiful downtown, by the way. It was a city of some kind. And other people were coming out, and you could see where the water had come in, and now it was washing into the streets. It had now come up, and somehow I'm seeing this. I'm standing in it, and I said, we have to get to the hotel. So the next scene changed. So Tony and I are now going into a hotel. Now, this hotel was built up a little bit, so it was a little bit safer, but yet the elevators were out on the first floor. There was no elevator activity, and that may have been because some of the power had been shut off because of the tsunami in that area, so we could not take the elevators up. Well, I knew that some of our friends were there because earlier in the dream, I had talked to Jensen Franklin and his wife, so I knew they were there a part of this event. And then, of course, Tony, by that time, I guess he was checking on things. I didn't see him at that point, but I went upstairs to talk to my wife, and I passed a restaurant. Now, what was strange was that there were people just hearing about this and realizing what had happened. I saw people that had been sitting there, and again, the restaurant was not below. It was upstairs. I was walking the steps, but I saw this, and everybody was like, oh, my goodness, something's happened. Something's happened. There's water everywhere. It's a tsunami that's taking place. But some were drinking coffee, and you could tell they were very upset and very nervous, and people were nervous. People started walking around. And I looked outside, and somehow a bus, and it must have been a bus that was in this higher level of church people. They were people that were a part of the conference. They were in the bus, and they were all safe. Now, nothing happened to Tony and I. Nothing happened to Jensen and his wife. Nothing happened to Pam. Pam was in a room. My biggest concern was having snacks, actually. And you would be concerned about that in a tsunami because of the destruction to stores and shops. But I was talking about, boy, we need to make sure there's water. We need to be sure. So I'm checking around for these things. And then right after that, I actually woke up after that. And when I woke up after that, I got up and I was going to write it down. And I said, you know what? I don't need to write this one down. This one is so vivid and this one is so clear that I will remember it. Now, one part I left out, and I just want to be reminded of this. Tony and I were walking across the bridge talking about an interview he had just done, and he named a person that I know does interviews on television in a particular part of the United States. And I'm not going to name the state. I'm not going to name the part, because if the Lord does not release me to give you that, I'm not going to do it, because all it does is creates questions. What should I do? Do you think this is coming? How long do you think it'll be? I can't answer any of that. So that's why I leave states out. But I know where this state would be. So he was talking about having this interview and how he enjoyed the interview and the person that interviewed him. And that's when the discussion came back from the girl behind us about the earthquake. Now, I can tell you what this is not. And I just want to keep the camera here for a moment to talk to you. It is not the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Some people try to make this spiritual. It is not. Secondly, it is not the warning of the destruction of some ministry. That is not what it is, because there are people, actual people involved in the city, the girl talking, the people at the shops, the people at the hotel. This has to do with a area in the United States. So there's no symbolism there. There's no prophetic symbolism. Well, this represents that and that represents this. So you don't have to send a dream interpretation, because our family has had these experiences. My dad, my grandfather, even my brother Philip has had these experiences before. Now, the situation we get into with these dreams is this. When I see them, it's always the coastal area. When I see them, there are many people that are there. When I see them, I see damage happening in those cities. But one of the most difficult things is this. When a tornado comes through, you usually have a warning from the Weather Channel to get to the basement. When a hurricane comes through, you can see it before it gets there, and you board up and you get your money, you fill your cash, or you get out of town. The thing about a tsunami is they can happen so quick, depending on how far in the ocean they are, or should I say how far to the coastal area they are. If they're close to the coastal cities, you don't have much time. You maybe have 4 or 5 minutes at the most. If they're out in the ocean, you may have an hour or 2 hours to prepare. So the thing the tsunami experts tell you is, if you're in a coastal area and you hear the alarms go off, immediately get to somewhere where it's higher ground. But definitely don't stay on the ocean. Don't stand there watching to see what's coming in. You might not survive it, as people found out. So first of all, let's get away from the ocean itself up to a higher coastal area. And that may actually mean going into a hotel. I don't know. That's going to be up to your decision where you live. Number one, get away from the ocean. Number two, always get to higher ground if possible. And one of the things we've learned from the tsunamis, especially in Indonesia, is watch the animals, because the elephants in Indonesia began running from the coastal areas up to the mountains. All the animals started moving away from the water before the tsunami ever struck, because animals have it's a radar, it's a sensitivity. Dolphins have this, different animals have this, where when they can tell when an earthquake's about to happen. Dogs can tell. People that have dogs have told me this. They can sense something is wrong. And if you watch the animal movements in areas where you live and they begin to bark like crazy or act crazy and they move away from water and they're running, they may know something. That doesn't mean always, but if a bunch of animals start reacting at one time, I believe God has given them like a sixth sense to know what's taking place. Now, people that have survived these particular tsunamis in the past, where they've come in, have said there's several things you have to be aware of. Number one is, if you're getting away in a car, and let's say you have an hour, you have 30 minutes to an hour, please understand everybody's going to be getting away at the same time. You need to have different routes from your house to know how to get out. Number two, and this is just me, you don't have to do this, but I never go under a fourth of a tank of gas in any vehicle. In fact, I don't go over a half. My wife will drive it till we got 20 miles left. I do not do that. I keep my tank pretty much full most of the time. That's just how I am. And I'm that way with any vehicle I've ever had. But always remember, you're going to have gas stations and people trying to get fuel. So you have to think ahead of these things, okay? And so remember traffic. Remember anything that you would need in your vehicle for the time frame. Now, I don't think this is a bad idea. I personally think this is a great idea. There are places where earthquakes are common and where coastal areas where people have what's called bug out bags. They have one made for each member of the family. And a lot of times it's a huge duffel bag and it has in it, and you have to keep this fresh, of course, it has bottles of water, it has long-term snacks, it has a couple change of outfits, and it has, sometimes they'll keep, this is not always safe to keep it in your house, but they'll have money available. Small bills, by the way, you know, but going into a place with $100 bills, sometimes they don't have the change. Everybody wants change and smaller bills. And if you're staying at a hotel, the reason change is good is because all those machines that they used to have, now they have them downstairs, they don't use machines as much, but you can put money in those machines and get you some snacks, and that's why change is always good to have as well. But you have to realize that if you live near a nuclear power plant, chemical plant, coastal area, it's always good to have these bags. And I had some friends of mine that I know that were relatives, and they showed me bags in their car that they kept in their car because of places where they worked, where they could get trapped in a snowstorm for maybe 2 days and not even be able to get out of work. So they had what's called a bug out bag with what they would need for 2 to 3 days. So the fourth thing I would suggest to people who deal with hurricanes or natural disasters, earthquakes could be the same thing, and these are going to happen. The reason I'm giving you this is practical information, because these things are going to happen at the time of the end. The tribulation will have the worst part of them, but it'll happen at the time of the end, is to be able to have contact with your children, know how to get to your children in the case of the emergency. If they're mature, I wouldn't necessarily do this if they're little kids, because it could scare them too bad. But if they're mature kids, you say, if anything happens, do this immediately. And I always tell people that carry phones, especially if kids are going to malls or they're going on a little trip, wherever they're going, keep your phone charged and keep that charger available at all times. Again, very practical things. So these are things that you should be aware of in the time that we're living in. And remember this, that after the sea and the waves are roaring, the next thing that Jesus said in Luke was that the powers of heaven would be shaken. Now that takes us into the tribulation, of course, and a lot of these tsunami things could be later in the tribulation as well. I want you to know that. But that takes you when there's going to be asteroids, meteorites, and stars falling from heaven. The stars from heaven are just meteorites being broken up that come into the Earth's atmosphere. So these are things, folks, that's going to happen at the time of the end. It's going to happen in the last days from time to time. So the best thing to do is do not be scared, but always be prepared, because it says, as these things begin to happen, men's hearts will fail them for fear of looking after what is coming to pass upon the earth. And so I keep having these. I don't ask for them. I don't ask the Lord to show me these. They happen, and I know in my spirit that the time will come, then they will take place. And I hope Tony and Jensen, if there's a minister's meeting somewhere, that we don't say, well, we're not going to that because it's on the coastal area. So if Jensen's watching me and Tony, who are two of my dearest friends, we made it through it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. We made it through it. We are in between. I want you to give me your attention now. We're in between some offers that are coming out, okay? I have a brand new book coming out that's the most, to me, it's the most significant spiritual warfare book in the entire history of my ministry. And so we'll talk about that later. It's not out yet, by the way. But we're going to offer you something just for the next few weeks as a fill-in offer. And kind of geared toward prophetic, because people are so interested, unsaved people, people that go to all denominations are interested in prophetic things. So we've put together something for you, and I want you to remember this, that this is what keeps manifest on the air. You don't see me coming begging for money. We're going off the air if you don't support us. I told God, if you can't support us and you can't help us, I'll go off the air. So that's how I told the Lord 22 years ago, but we're still on the air. And we're on in many, many stations, many Christian stations that are reaching the entire world with the gospel. And so we thank God for all of them. But we want you to watch this and get this and stay with me, because we have special announcements at the end. You might want to be a part of what's coming up.
Are you ready to unlock profound prophetic insights and explore the mysteries of God's divine plan? Perry Stone invites you to dive into an extraordinary teaching resource that unravels ancient truths, spiritual warfare strategies, and end-time revelations. Introducing a dynamic collection of audio teachings designed to equip and inspire believers in this prophetic season. This powerful prophetic resource features three insightful audio CD sets, plus a bonus CD packed with surprising revelations about the rapture. The first teaching of the two CD set is titled The Battle of the Gods and Beasts, and dives into a stunning exploration of ancient false gods and their modern-day spiritual implications. Discover how Christ countered the dangerous idols of the Roman and Greek empires, and how these revelations impact spiritual warfare today. The second CD examines the future two beasts rising, revealing how two demonically influenced men will fulfill key apocalyptic prophecies. The second two CD resource, Yahweh's Prophetic Clock, enters the much-debated subject of how God is counting prophetic time to establish the timing of the rapture. This teaching explains the mystery linked with the number 7 and the numerous other prophetic cycles and patterns. This eye-opening two-hour teaching provides one of the clearest explanations of God's prophetic calendar, offering fresh insights that will deepen your understanding. The third audio teaching, When Angels Show Up, includes two compelling messages. The first reveals the angelic covenant of protection, an essential understanding for navigating this dangerous season. The second message, How to Release Angels During Prophetic Seasons, teaches how to access heavenly messengers during times of increased demonic and angelic activities as prophecies are being fulfilled. This is an important revelation on angels. We are also including a bonus CD, The Chaos chaos of the rapture. Within 48 hours after the rapture, the chaos of Revelation 6 will be unleashed. Learn how millions of people missing and the atomic effect of the rapture and resurrection will send the world into darkness and complete confusion. This comprehensive teaching package includes 3 teachings, 6 CDs, plus the unique single CD on the chaos of the rapture, offering over 7 hours of prophetic teaching. For a limited time, you can receive this prophetic teaching package for a donation of $30 or more. Call us toll free at 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. Or order online at perrystone.org. Additionally, you can write to us at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320, and enclose your gift of $30 or more to request CD package offer YP-147. This package is also available as a digital download on our website. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Thank you for joining me. I personally selected these three as my favorite teachings because they're in depth. Now, they're very understandable, so they're not so deep you're not going to understand them. But they're in depth for people who love Bible teaching and learning new things. I can assure you, you will learn so much that you may not have been familiar with. It's going to help you. That's the biggest thing. These are teachings that will help you with the bonus. That's 7 hours of teaching. And also, don't forget that you can also order these via download, and all that information is available to you at perrystone.org. And we want to, as you hear me speaking, at the bottom of the screen, there will be places that we're going to be coming to, Texas and Tennessee and Monroe, Louisiana, so many places that we would love to have you join us if you possibly could for at least one service. Now, don't forget that you can keep up with us through the Perry Stone Ministries Facebook page, the Perry Stone YouTube channel. Subscribe to that. We have so much on social media that we're doing right now. We would love to have you to be a part, because we are constantly bringing you a now word. My ministry has always been built on, what is God speaking now? What is the Holy Spirit doing now? What is about to happen? All these type of things. So we hope and pray that you'll continue to pray for us. We appreciate our partners and friends of ministry. See you next week.
America's premier international prophetic summit is coming in 2025. Come be a part of this dynamic conference April 23rd through 27th at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. Hear world-renowned prophetic speakers Jonathan Kahn, Mario Murillo, Bill Cloud, Mark Biltz, John Kilpatrick, Joseph C., and your host, Perry Stone. These 14 services will answer hundreds of prophetic questions with insight and information. There is no fee to attend, but you must register for seating. Mark your calendars for April 23rd through 27th and register today. Visit perrystone.org for more information.